This
is the Sports Psychology Hour with Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
I cannot express the gratitude what my son came and visited you.
Dr. Jacobs has been in practice for 37 years as a sports psychologist.
I have seen a change in youth sports in the last 10, 15 years. I've talked about it a lot on this show.
The Sports Psychology Hour, the best advice on the radio, each and every week.
Failure and losing and screwing up is something that happens in life. It happens in sports. And I think we have to teach kids how to do that more effectively.
This is where sports talk gets real.
That word playing, it's gone from our society in a lot of ways with kids.
And now here's your host, Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
Hello, everybody. I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs, and welcome to the Sports Psychology Hour, live from our flagship station in Kansas City on a snowy, snowy day. We are here to talk with you about the mental side of sports, as I do every week. Look forward to doing this show with you from Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. We're on a number of cities around the country, and we talk about attitudes, mindset, sportsmanship, success, and failure. I've been a sports psychologist in my 38th year now. I've been on the radio here in Kansas City for 28 years, the last 18 here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, and we are now, after many, many tries, getting the show syndicated around the country on a number of cities, and our list is growing actually on a weekly basis, I'm excited to say. And we talk about you. We get into things about your mind, your attitude, your focus. What is sports about? And I'm always interested in talking with you, taking calls, and getting into discussions. And today I have a guest in studio I'm going to introduce in a moment. And one of the things I'm going to talk to him about is the issue of sportsmanship. Because this past week, a couple of things happened in the world of sports, in basketball. University of Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey was suspended 2 games, and the University of Iowa was fined $10,000 for him losing it on the court, going ballistic after refs after a game. He was very remorseful in a press conference afterwards, but it's the second time he's done this in the last couple of years, that he's gone after refs. So what's that about? And then you have Mike McCarthy, the former Packers coach, who had his stepson's high school basketball game, went after the refs. There's video showing it where he verbally attacked the refs as they left the court. And you can see one of the refs pointing at him and sort of getting somewhat upset, as McCarthy just walked right off the court, the stands, and just followed towards the locker room. Sportsmanship's a big issue for me. And it's something I'm going to get into today because my guest is somebody I've gotten to know who I think displays tremendous sportsmanship. And it's something that we get into, you know, when I talk about role modeling, I talk about success and failure in coaching, in performing. Let's face it, athletes, coaches are people. They have emotions, they have feelings, but you've got to control it. And when you don't control it and you get out of control emotionally, everything falls apart. So self-control is a big issue. And if you play offensive line in the NFL, you damn well better have self-control or you're in big trouble. So this morning, I'm privileged to have in our studio Mitch Morse, who for the past 4 years has been the center for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been kind enough to get up and come in and join us this morning, drive through the snow to get into the studio. And we're going to talk about what he does. You see, he plays center in the NFL. There are only 32 starting centers in the NFL. It's a very unique position because you have to be in total coordination with the quarterback. You have to know what's going on with the offense. You have to be in sync with your teammates. And it's a job that I think a lot of people, oh, you just get there and snap the ball. Well, it's a lot more than that. So we're going to talk with Mitch about his career, about sportsmanship, about focus, about pressure, coming back from injuries, all these types of things. And if you're interested in giving us a call and asking a question, as always, we will open up our phone lines for you at 913-3810-810. So first of all, my friend, thank you for coming in, getting up this morning in the snow and coming into the studio.
Doc, I got up this morning and I was graced with a text that asked what I wanted from Starbucks. So I knew it was going to be a good day. You took care of me this morning. I'm really thankful to be on the show. And I've always been a big proponent of sports psychology, it's positive thinking in sport. And I know throughout my career, every step that I've taken, you know, the physical aspect of the game has increased. But the thing that really I saw that distinguished, you know, the great players was the way they were able to play the game mentally, to play within themselves and understand themselves through the mental aspect of their game.
You know, I've been doing this for 38 years. I started, and it's interesting, the past couple weeks I found a box of audio cassette tapes of interviews of me the 10 years prior to me starting on the radio. And I've been downloading those onto my computer. I found one of these machines on Amazon you can do that with. It's great. I'm like, what am I ever going to do with these? Because what's a cassette, people are saying? Is that 8-track? What is it?
Doc's got a big old cassette tape in his office.
Yeah, well,
this thing could start your car.
Yes. Anyway, but I've been listening to some of these interviews I gave 30 years ago, 35 years ago, actually. And what's been interesting is we talked about sports psychology back then. And I interviewed at several of the small colleges in the Kansas City area to try to start working when I first came home in August of 1981. And one of the athletic directors said to me, I don't believe in witchcraft and hocus pocus. That's what all the psychology stuff
sure.
is with sports.
Right.
We've come so far in a long time. You went to the University of Missouri. There's a very well-established sports psychology program there.
Yes.
You understand the mental aspect of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I always like to say you can have two athletes who are physically the same, but the one with the stronger mind will come out on top. Tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, I think there's ultimate truth to that, right? I remember in my youth sports and even through the first few years at Mizzou, and, you know, it's I hate to say it, even the first few years in the league, it's hard not to get in your own mind, and self-sabotage is, you know, something that can happen unconsciously. It's something that I needed to practice, and the truth of the matter is it's not always easy, because it's easy to listen to people who are outside of yourself. You know, it's the tale as old as time is, the only thing that matters is your thoughts about yourself and the fact that, you have such a unique tool set that a lot of people haven't tapped into that's between your ears. Especially in sport, I think that it's something that's not mastered overnight, and it's something that needs to be worked on, like my technique in football. I mean, you see the guys who are in the league and the guys who are in high school; they're doing the same drills, right? You never master drilling or master a step or footwork or technique, and never have to go back and practice again. You're always practicing it because it's easy to, create bad habits. So for me, it's something I've always been working on. And I always think that, there's ways to better yourself in that department.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour. And this morning, my guest is Kansas City Chiefs center Mitch Morse. And Mitch has been kind enough to join us for the entire hour today and talk about his career and the mental side of what he does. And if you'd like to join us, have a question for Mitch, as always, our number is 913-3810-810. You know, I the mental aspect of football, a lot of people say, oh, come on, you just got to be tough. You got to be a big guy. And to play your position, you just got to be a big guy and be able to block. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the mental side of being an offensive lineman, specifically a center in the NFL.
Sure.
And making it to that level and surviving.
Right. I feel like half of it was just good old-fashioned luck, but the mental aspect of the game, I think, was the biggest jump for me from college to pros. In college, I only lined up with five offensive linemen and maybe one attached tight end, and then I get to the pros, and the second day of install during rookie minicamp, we have 9 guys in the line of scrimmage, and that just it brings so many more people into the box, which is, there's linebackers in there, guys you'd never seen in your entire life in college. And then you're required to make certain calls or understand where everyone's going. I think the thing that helped me out was understanding not only my role on the offensive line, but understanding everyone else's. And when I did that, it helped me, become a more prolific blocker or understanding what anticipation more than anything. So for me, the mental aspect is not only understanding, I mean, especially at center, you kind of have to have a little bit of understanding of what the quarterback's doing, what he's thinking. You have to have a line of communication. Sometimes there is no line of communication, just depending on the play, and you know, sometimes there's quite a bit. Like on first down, I might have less conversation with him than on third down, because third down's a pressure down, and understanding just protection. So, I mean, each play and each offensive lineman has a different kind of, when they get to the line of scrimmage, a different script going through their head, just with, based on what the guy next to him is doing, what they have to do. So it's just understanding the play itself, the technique that's involved, and anticipating what you can see from the defense, just based on just kind of what part of the game you're in. Maybe it's fourth and inches or third and long, just understanding what's, you know, your surroundings.
So a lot of that has to do with your preparation, not just physically but mentally as well.
No doubt. No, absolutely.
And the communication you have with your line mates and the quarterback, in this case Patrick Mahomes, who everybody would love to meet in the world.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, you guys have a special relationship where he gets to put his hands under.
Sure, yeah,
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 we all know about
right,
that.
Absolutely.
No, but it, you know, just real quickly, playing with him this year, you know, watching him play and watching him develop, what can you tell us about him just as a person?
Sure. A really down-to-earth dude. I mean, talk about a guy who, after game one, I mean, his life changed between game one and game 16, right? We all knew that he was a special talent, you know, just the way his life changed, you know, going around town. It was crazy. It was mayhem. But the guy has such a good head on his shoulders, and he really cares about his teammates, and he kind of goes out there, and he has fun playing the game. And he's got a little swagger about him, but it's pretty cool.
And you also got to play with Alex Smith, who I admired. Never met either of them, but I admired tremendously. Seemed like a very confident, down-to-earth guy who was able to handle that well.
Both dudes are extraordinary guys. Alex is a guy that I thought was just, outside of football, is amazing.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My guest this morning is Mitch Morse, Kansas City Chiefs Center. If you'd like to join us, ask Mitch a question. Our number is 913-3810-810. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 10, WHB. Hello, everyone. I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour, and I'm here every week from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We talk about the mental side of sports on this show. I'm in my 28th year in radio here in the Kansas City area, and our show is around the country. And today, I'm privileged enough to have in studio with me Kansas City Chiefs Center Mitch Morse, and we're talking about his career, the mental side of sports, and, you know, his ideas about confidence and attitude. And if you'd like to give us a call, we'll go to the phones here in a few moments. Our number is 913-3810-810. We'd like to hear from you. Have a question for Mitch. This whole issue of confidence, Mitch. In all my years of work with so many people, that's the one word that everything sort of comes down to. I talk about preparation, focus, attitude, confidence as the keys to success, along with communication, obviously, and trust, respect, dignity, things like that. But you've got to have that confidence. Mm-hmm. As a professional football player, how do you maintain a high level of self-confidence and not let it, you know, go down?
Sure. I think confidence is one of those things, depending on the person, that's hard to attain and easy to lose. It's one of those things that, depending on the situation, you can ride confidence for quite some time, or it can come and go as quickly as it, you know. It's something for me that I've always enjoyed talking to people and talking about, you know, guys like you, Doc, who it just really depends on the person. And I think background has a lot to do with it, how they were raised. And it also depends on if people allow themselves to have confidence or confidence in themselves. I think it's for a lot of people, they let what others say to them dictate their confidence. And I think for me,
what does self-confidence mean to you? We got a couple people online here want to go to. What does the word confidence mean to you, Mitch?
Confidence to me means that I understand my skill set, and I understand that confidence is I've attained something in practice, and I've liked the way that I've played, and I know that I'm going to correlate that to the field of play and be successful in regards to making my blocks or making the right calls and just having a fluid game where there's no peaks and valleys in my play.
Consistency with that belief in yourself.
For sure.
Excellent. All right, we're going to go to our phones. As I said, our number is 913-3810-810 if you want to talk to Mitch and myself. Let's go first to Adrian. Adrian, good morning. How are you?
Hi. It's an honor to be on your show for one. I've been listening to, you know, your radio talk show forever.
Well, thank you.
And I would like to ask Mitch Morse, you know, with, you know, the mentality side of it, you know, you need that, you know, strength in your mind and all. And, you know, how does the, say, training for the upcoming season, you know, be part of that confidence?
Yeah, I think confidence isn't just something that for me is attainable overnight, right? I think for me it's confidence is gained through countless hours or countless repetitions of the thing that I'm going to be doing on the football field. And confidence also comes from knowing or anticipating what I'm going to see. If I come into a game and I have no idea what the defense is going to do, or I have no idea what my respective defensive lineman is going to do, then I'm playing a guessing game, and I'm not coming off the ball as fast as I want to. So for me, preparation is huge.
That's right. You know, I talk about those words, preparation. It starts with preparation.
Sure, no doubt.
That leads to your focus. That affects your attitude, and then it all about the confidence, that belief in your abilities.
Sure. No, I think preparation for me is such a huge proponent of confidence.
Adrian, does that answer your question? Do you play a sport, Adrian?
Yeah, I'm actually I was the JV kicker for the Aquinas Saints, and now I'm going to be the varsity kicker for Olathe West. What you, Mitch Moore, said was pretty true. You know, every game, I have to mentally prepare myself. I admire Harrison Butker a lot because I've actually met him and I've actually trained with him at, you know, a Colts kicking camp. And, you know, with a lot of the, you know, my teammates, you know, they don't understand, you know, what, you know, it takes to be a kicker actually, because there's a lot of mentality to it. And, you know, I've had moments where I've actually iced myself from, you know, overthinking things. And, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, thinking going on in preparation, and it's just down to, you know, fundamentals and things like that.
So. Exactly, Adrian. If you listen to the show, I spent 14 years working with Nick Lowry when he kicked. And Nick, when he retired, was the most accurate kicker in football, and he kicked more field goals than anybody in football. One of the things we worked on was this whole preparation thing and mindset and game plan. And basically the same thing Mitch is talking about. And you've got to, as a kicker, and Mitch knows that because he's out there blocking, not snapping on the field goal unit, you're on your own little island out there, and you've got to have your own focus, your own preparation, and you can't listen to everybody, because if you start doing that, you're in trouble.
Yeah, buddy, it's something that, you know, first of all, Harrison's a great dude and an excellent kicker and a guy who's very routine driven. I think if you find a routine that works for you, that's kind of, you know, and it has to be individual to yourself, mm-hmm. right? You can't take in what, you know, yep, someone else's schedule and try to make it identical to yours, just because, you know, each person is inherently different. So I think finding what works for you, bud, understanding that, I think kicker is one of the positions that is just, it's kind of like a tennis player. I feel like you're out there by yourself sometimes, but understand that you really do have a bunch of dudes behind your back, you know, have your back, and understand that, you know, preparation is so huge in this department, and just understand that once you find your routine, stick with it through the peaks and valleys, and I promise you'll be super successful.
Adrian,
thank
you so much for your call. Thanks
you,
for listening. Good luck to
you.
If I can ever be of any more help, call back.
Right.
You take care.
Thank you.
All right, let's go next to Brian. Brian, good morning. Dr. Jacobs, you're on with myself and Mitch Morse. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, gentlemen, this morning?
Great.
Fantastic.
Mitch, this question is to you, and I know that you I don't know anything about your personal life as far as, you know, if you're married or you have kids, but I know you're playing a physical sport. And with all of these, you know, like Junior Seau and all these people that are getting this traumatic brain disease from concussions, I just kind of want to know your feelings about, you know, everybody thinks, well, it's just that you are playing in a dangerous sport where at any time it can end. So I just kind of like to get your feel, like if you have loved ones and how you talk to them, or if you have kids and explain that stuff. And even if you had kids, would you let them play your sport? And I'll get off there and listen to you, and good luck, Chief.
Thanks, Brian. Great call. Thanks. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, right, Brian? It is a gladiator sport for sure. And it's something that does take a physical toll on you, but if you play timid, or if you play with angst, I mean, anything in life can harm you. I mean, just driving your car to work is somewhat dangerous, you know what I mean? I've always felt like, for me, football is one of my true loves. I absolutely love it. My wife knows that.
Have any kids.
I don't have any kids yet, but... You know, it's something I'll tell my kids is, listen, and my parents did this to me. I'm a big proponent of, you know, you don't have to jump your kids into, tackle football immediately. I've always thought that you can wait a while. I didn't play till high school, and I thought it was fine. But I get both aspects. And I think as long as you take care of yourself and you understand, if you're talking concussion-wise, you know, if you suffer from a concussion, I think the biggest thing is taking the right precautionary steps, not jumping back out there too soon. The studies show that If you take the proper time, your brain's going to be fine. It's for sure a scary topic, and for being in a family that my brother has a traumatic brain injury, it's from a younger age, it's tough. But dude, to be honest, you know, football, you understand it's a gladiator sport, and as long as you know you have the coaches teaching you the right things and put heads up sport is so big, and for me, I just love it too much. I understand it's going to put myself in a financial position to take care of my kids. Till the end of time, I'll be a huge proponent of football, because I think besides it, it's a huge, great team sport that teaches so many life lessons.
And also, you mentioned about your brother who got a brain injury when he was in it. Well, how old was he?
Like 6 months old.
Okay, an infant.
Yeah.
So, and he's in his 20s now?
He's in his 20s now.
Okay. So you've lived with that your whole life, with
Absolutely.
That awareness of brain injury.
Sure.
Yet you're still playing the sport.
Yes.
And you're careful about it, and you've had concussions, and obviously you've gone through them. So
Yes. It's
something you're aware of and sensitive to, but at the same time, you believe if you do it the right way, it's okay.
I think if you do it the right way, that's absolutely okay. And it's to the preference of the parent or the person, but I've always been a huge proponent of the game. I think it's the values it teaches you and instills in you. It's for life. It's incredible. And for me, I've never really thought about the injuries too much.
Well, everyone who plays a sport, and I don't care what the sport is, that's physical, is going to get hurt.
No doubt.
Years ago, I had a lady call my first talk show and said, I asked one day to hear from anybody who didn't exercise, call in, I got all these people, and this lady said, well, I listen every week, I sit on the couch and I eat a bag of Lay's potato chips and I don't like to glisten. You don't like to glisten? Yeah, I don't like to get wet or sweat, because people who exercise get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, if you don't exercise, then you're going to have other issues. She goes, well, I'll die with that. I'd rather do that than have a broken ankle. And it was sort of a strange call. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My guest this morning is Kansas City Chiefs Center Mitch Morse. If you want to give us a call, our number is 913-3810-810, 913-3810-810. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Again, everyone, I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm here every week. Our show is now on around the country in a number of cities. I'm looking forward to doing this show every week as we get into the whole mental side of sports. And, you know, as we're supposedly leaving winter, although in Kansas City today it is snowing again, will winter ever end? You know, we're going to get into the spring sports here pretty soon. We're going to have some interesting shows coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to have a golf pro and a personal trainer on, trains golfers. We're going to talk about your whole golf mindset, physically and mentally, and that's going to be in a couple weeks. And I think you're going to find that interesting. Sarah Stout and Rob Shipman will be with me. And next week, Bernadette Wagner will be on with me. Bernadette is someone I've known for years and years. In the Win for Kansas City Women's Sports Luncheon from a few weeks ago, she received a big award. Bernadette started coaching male pole vaulters back in the 70s when women didn't do that. But she's an incredible person, and she'll be on with us next week. So we're going to have some interesting interviews coming up. And today, though, Mitch Morse is in the studio with me. Mitch is a wonderful person, a good man, and he was kind enough to come in and talk with us today about what he does, which is with only 32 people to start as a center in the NFL. You know, Mitch, one of the things that I'm very obviously into is mental health as a sports psychologist, something I've talked about for years and years and years. I mentioned those tapes I found, interviews of myself from 30-something years ago where I was talking about this, and even one of the hosts said, well, have you been asked, is this a bunch of witchcraft? Mm-hmm. As I said, well, that's what an athletic director said it is.
Right.
People didn't, you know, back in the 80s when I started, I graduated one of the first training programs in the country. Mm-hmm. People had no clue what the mental side was, really. I mean, obviously people dealt with it because people were dealing with things mentally. But it hasn't been until the last couple years that we've seen athletes now come out and talk about it.
Right.
And it really sort of started with Kevin Love in November of 2017, mm-hmm. when he had a panic attack playing in an NBA game. Now, Kevin Love is not, you know, some guy that sort of bounces around. He's a star. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he comes from, you know, his family's the Beach Boys. I mean, they know how to perform under pressure.
Yeah.
All right. Yet here's a guy playing LeBron James, had a panic attack, didn't know what was going on. They figured it out, had to go to the hospital. They finally figured out what was going on. He's now become a huge proponent of mental health in sports. We had Brian Dawkins talking about it when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame last year about depression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You had one of your teammates, Kareem Hunt, lose his job, basically get fired from the Chiefs this past year for lying and his behavior. Now he's been re-signed, and hopefully for him, he's gotten some help to figure things out. How important is, you know, I'm not talking about just the mental side of sports, but the mental health side of sports. Because you guys are, you know, right. Here's the thing, before I let you answer this. You're a human being. You're a person.
No doubt.
Yeah, you're much bigger than I am. You're much stronger than I am.
Handsome,
a lot younger than
super,
me.
Super handsome.
Much better looking guy. I've got more hair than you do, though. But
that's not cool, man.
A lot older. But here's the thing. You're still, you know, athletes are people. And I talk about this all the time. You guys are in the public spotlight. You played on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are one of the most, you know, popular teams in the NFL. You're expected to be put on a pedestal by everybody else,
right.
But you're a human being.
I think that's interesting you say that, right, because you catch yourself. I used to catch myself watching games and just absolutely losing my mind. I call it the road rage car effect, right? You're going to say stuff in your car or behind a TV screen that you would never say to someone's face. And now social media has completely changed the game in regards to just calling people out. And the truth of the matter is it's just a bunch of dudes who happen to be, you know, fairly good at their sport. We are human beings in the long haul. And you know, as weird as it is, we do have feelings, you know what I mean? It's tough. But it's to go back to your mental aspect part, I think it was a shame that this was cutting edge back in 2010. I mean, it's been there way longer than that, but for me, that's when I really felt like it became to the forefront. And then even more so the last year.
What specifically you're talking about?
I just think positive thinking and correlations to success in sport and continued, you know, thinking right in regards to being part of your personal health. You know, because it takes a toll on you to always be negative to yourself, giving yourself negative you know, thoughts. I think it's just not healthy for a human being to have that, and especially when you do that alongside with having maybe a bad game or bad season, and you people who really don't understand that you're just a normal dude and just want to have normal conversations, telling you that you are a, you know, piece of junk or that you're worthless. When the truth of the matter is, you might have had just a bad game or a bad play that you didn't intend to have. It's not like you went out there and decided to shoot, I'm just gonna play like crap today.
And let's take your team, the Chiefs, okay? You lose to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. There's a play towards the end of the game where all-pro linebacker Dee Ford lines up in the neutral zone. The pass gets intercepted. If that isn't called, he isn't lined up in the neutral zone, the Chiefs would have been in the Super Bowl, and I think you guys would have won, too. Well, a little bit biased, but I think you would have won. Okay, but he was in the neutral zone, penalty, interception doesn't count.
Right.
Patriots win.
Right.
All right, he's got to deal with that for the rest of his life. If he hadn't been in the neutral zone, how do you move on from that? Because you know what? I've never met Dee Ford.
Sure.
Obviously, you have.
Yeah.
He's a human being. He's got feelings. How do you move on from that? Because, you know, here's 80,000 people seeing that, plus millions watching on TV.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave me this platform to say this. First of all, Dee is one hell of a dude. Great guy. And, you know, it's unfortunate that that happened. But I'm sick and tired of people telling me that, you know, that was the one play that dictated the whole game.
Because that's a joke. Because there was a 60-minute plus overtime game.
It's a complete joke. You know, the offense didn't score a single point, and I'm as much to blame, if not more, than Dee Ford lining up in the neutral zone. Shoot, I mean, give me a break. I'm tired of hearing it. You know, the guy deserves a break. He's a stud player.
But so my question to you though is, as a person in the public spotlight like that. That makes a mistake because athletes are pure human.
No.
How do you move on from that? How do you personally move on from something like that? Because everybody's going to remind you of that.
Right. I think, for sure. I think it's a damn shame. Excuse my language, but you know, that is going to be a real challenge for him. What you have to understand is that, you know, this is your livelihood, but in the end, it's not the end all be all. I mean, he's got, you know, we all have people that love us. That care about us on a personal level, and that's the real thing that matters. And in fact, Doc, I came and talked to you earlier this year just trying to get ahead of the game, you know, trying to get back into the swing of things, and that was something that we talked about, was that, you know, when stuff seems like it's going downhill in regards to sport and you feel like it's taking your personal life with you, it's hogwallop, you know what I mean? The truth of the matter is you have such a core group of friends and people that care about you at a level that, you know, you can't even really conceptually understand it. And that's all that matters in the end, and that everything else is just kind of a nice cherry on top.
You know, I've worked with athletes for 38 years. I've worked with professional athletes forever. And one of the things that I always say to professional athletes is, you know, the word fan is short for fanatic. Okay, and it is,
right.
and I'm a fan. I've worked with, you know, gosh, over the years I've probably worked with, I'm guessing, over 30 Chiefs players.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is, everybody's a person. Everybody has to deal with that. I mentioned Nick Lowry. There were games where he missed. There were a couple of games he missed a kick.
Right.
That if he makes the kick, Chiefs win. He had to deal with that.
Right.
And you know, he survived. Played 17 years in the NFL. It's hard to do that, and you've got to have a tough mentality, and you've got to deal. I remember one time, he and I went out. He stopped at a 7-Eleven. He walks in, and he'd missed a kick earlier in the game with the Chiefs played at Houston earlier that day. He missed it. The only time in his life he missed a kick under 20 yards, but he made a 50-something yarder at halftime. Chiefs lost by a couple points, and a lady came up to him in the 7-Eleven, started shaking her finger at him. I'm sitting in the car watching this. And he comes out, he goes, she told me, you're that kicker guy. You're that kicker that missed that kick. I could have made that kick.
Yeah.
And he said, well, thank you. She goes, but you did make that long one, so I guess you're okay.
Yeah. I love fans. You know, it's the reason why we play our sport. And just the last few years, I've been spoiled with Kansas City Chiefs fans are some of the best fans just running in. Running into in the public. But you know, it's tough, you know, because I don't know what the fan does. I don't know what the fan does for a living, and I'm not going to scream in his face about, you know, how he did whatever he did wrong. But it's just something about sport, and I completely get it. I understand it. I just hope the next time they do that you take a time to think that we're all human, man.
Mitch, you're a human being. I'm a human being. We have feelings. We'll have to deal with it. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My guest today is Mitch Morris, Kansas City Chiefs Center. If you want to give us a call, our number is 913-3810-10. We've got a wide open phone board. Great time for you to call and ask Mitch a question. Give us a call. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 10 WHB. Hello, everybody. I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs, and this is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. On a snowy morning in Kansas City, I am having the privilege of talking with Kansas City Chiefs Center Mitch Morse, who's been kind enough to come in and spend this hour with us. Great comments he's been making today about himself. And if you want to join in the conversation, you want to ask Mitch a question, it's our last segment here, so give us a call at 913-3810-810. I mean, Mitch is a really good man, down-to-earth guy, and I've gotten to know him here, and he gets it. He understands what this is all about. He doesn't have a big head. He's not stuck in himself like some pro athletes give the impression of being. He's a guy who's married, comes from a solid family. I think he understands life. I mean, his brother, as he said, at 6 months of age, got a traumatic brain injury and has lived with that, and very close to his family, very close to his brother. So I think, you know, something like that can help ground you quite a bit, obviously, in life and make you appreciate things. So, you know, Mitch, I want to ask you some questions. And once again, our number is 913-3810-810 if you want to call and join in.
Give us a call.
Well, you can talk with me. Okay, so here, I want to ask you.
It's a treat. It's a treat talking to you, for sure.
I want to ask you some general questions. What is your definition of winning?
Oh, boy. that's a million-dollar question. Okay, so for me, winning is not only being successful in the realm of sport that you're doing, but for me, winning can also be, say, a technique that I was not doing well at that I finally understood, and I was able to correlate that to the field. And winning for me is not just between the lines who has the most on the scoreboard. For me, it can be also a part of just becoming a better athlete, becoming a better teammate, and things clicking. I think fluidity in the sport. So for winning, you know, the ultimate goal is to win the game, and that's pretty well defined. But
that's the result.
That's for sure the result. And I think that's the common misconception. You know, that's what you play for. But within that, there's also small wins, which would be, you know, being a better teammate or so on and so forth.
Losing.
Okay. You know, then there's also the parameters of you have a result with less points than the other team, right? But also losing for me is taking a step back in regards to me as a football player, totally. There's been the tales all this time as if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. You know, maybe regressing or understanding that I took the easy way out in my preparation, and it correlates to the football field. There's individual losing, which is how you feel like you performed as a person and as a player. There's losing as a team, whereas, you know, maybe there's miscommunication or a rift between each other. And I feel like it's tough, but sometimes losing is the kick in the pants you need to become a great player. I think the greatest players I've met or I've known have lost, and that's been their greatest fuel to become better, not only as to push for better results, but also to push themselves to become better athletes.
As an NFL player on a very successful team that has high expectations, when you lose a game, how do you bounce back from that?
When you lose a game...
And give us an example from this past season.
Sure. So we lose in Seattle, a pretty tough game, Sunday Night Football.
That was the next to the last game of the year, correct?
That was next to the last game of the year. That win would have kind of solidified the first round bye that we were able to achieve the next game, but it would have been nice to have that first round. I mean, just to know that. So the pressure was on. It was definitely a spirited, kind of fiery locker room afterwards. No one was pointing fingers. It's just not the kind of team we had. But there was definitely some looking in ourselves and kind of understanding, well, what kind of mindset did I come out with today? Did I come out with, well, if we just cruise through this, then, you know, not the right winning mindset to come out and be the best competitors we could be. And then you go and you look at technique-wise, well, what technique could I have done to become a better, you know, to have been more successful in those plays? Well, was it just being more in tune to maybe the snap count or the focusing on what technique I needed to use? So kind of going back to the fundamentals, I think the biggest thing for us was practicing with a purpose, fundamentals, practicing, you know, full speed. So we always had the best spirited practices after we lost.
So in order for you individually to move on from a loss, what did you have to do?
You know, I always took a few hours just to kind of decompress, you know, get offline, get off the phone, talk to my friends and on the phone, but not social media or any internet. I talked to my friends, talked to my teammates, just shooting the stuff. And then you do the self-reflecting. So we'll usually come in and watch film the next day or the day after. So I watch film on my own to kind of understand, well, what's coach going to bring up? What coaching points is he going to bring up to kind of be prepared for what I need to do? And also gives me a day's heads up to kind of get in the right mentality to understand that what's going to be coming in this week. And then it's just attacking the film. You attack it, you understand it, you know, win or lose, there's always things to learn from it. And then you go into the game week and you have a new game plan, but you have the stuff that you need to work on.
Let me ask you this question. The difference between making it and surviving in the NFL and not is what? Because, you know, the combine has been going on right. Recently. Guys are, you know, getting ready to get drafted, free agency starting. What does it take to survive in the NFL and make it and last?
Yeah, I think you have to have a good support system. Whether that be, you know, because, you know, not everyone's family life is the best. I think football is one of the greatest sports in regards to it. It's such a cultural melting pot. You become friends and you meet guys who just didn't, you wouldn't have grown up around, you know what I mean? So not everyone's family life is great. So I ground myself through my wife and my family. You know, some guys ground it through their friendships. But you have to have a good third party who does not give a darn about your football. And then you have to have the understanding that you have to remove yourself. For me, it took the longest time was, let me focus on football while I'm at football. And then when I come home, let me be a husband. Or let me be a son. Let me be a friend. And that helped me so tremendously because you mentally burn out if you don't. And then going from there.
You know, that's where, to me, as we wrap up the interview this morning, the word balance. I talk to all my clients about, I talk to teams about all the time, being balanced. And knowing when to focus on the game, when to focus on you, when to focus on your friends, your family, whatever, your dog, whatever it might be. But have that balance in your life. I mean, you know, you hear stories over the years of athletes and coaches who burn themselves out. Dick Vermeil was very famous for that. He left coaching for a while because he was so burned out. But you have to have that balance in your life. And you strike me as someone who has a very good sense of balance. You've Sure. got a wonderful family, a good support system, and that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it really does for sure. And not to get confused with it, if you have passion for something and you want to, you know, right now I'm in off-season training and I love working out. I love, you know, working on my craft. You know, that doesn't mean don't do that, but it means that be passionate at that passionate time. You know what I mean? Do it, have that time allotted, and then come back and just be able to take your shoes off, decompress. But no, for sure, I think something you talked about, work-life balance, is important, not only in everything we do in life, but especially in sport, because it's such an emotional roller coaster, and you have to have the friends, the support system, and the mental attributes to understand that there's going to be dips and, you know, valleys in this.
Mitch, I want to thank you for coming in today. It's been an awesome interview, sharing yourself with us. It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio with me.
Flew by, man. We had time. Winter wonderland, more like a winter nightmare outside, man.
Mitch Moore, center for the Kansas City Chiefs. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Doc.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs, here every week. If you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me in several ways. My Twitter account is at DRJ Sports Psych, at DRJ SPRTPSYCH. My website is winnersunlimited.com. Send me an email at DRJ@winnersunlimited.com or call me at my office at 816-561-5556. Our shows are podcasted here at Sports Radio at 10 WHB and on my website, winnersunlimited.com. Hope everybody has a great week. I want to thank Mitch Morse for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been a wonderful interview.
Thank you.
Get your free, you know, if you got a child who's interested in sports, let them listen to this. I think they'll learn a lot. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.